Thank you for praying, and let's continue to pray for the Lord to work in our midst. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. And this evening we're going to start our little Bible study in John chapter number 20, the book of John, chapter number 20. Thank you, brother. John chapter 20 and verse 19. And let's read this verse together and then we'll commit this time to prayer. John chapter 20 and verse number 19. John chapter 20. Verse 19, the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, we pray, as we look at these truths once again to be strengthened in our faith and to be bold in our witness, Lord, we ask. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing to look at the facts of Christ's resurrection, and John chapter 20, verse 19 reminds us that the disciples were not boldly preaching the gospel. They were where does the Bible say they were? They were on the first day of the week assembled together. Where? What were the doors? How were they positioned? They were shut. They were locked. And they were hiding. Why? Because of fear of the Jews. Fear of the Jews. And we are continuing our little looking at the evidence on the resurrection of Christ. And tonight we're looking at the evidence of changed lives. The evidence of changed lives. Something must have happened for this small band of fearful disciples to go out and to boldly preach the gospel and to give their lives for their faith. Something must have happened to turn their fear to courage. And as people ask you, how can you prove that Christ rose from the dead? Well, there are some great answers. We've looked at already the evidence of the gospel accounts. We've looked at the evidence of the empty tomb. And tonight we're looking at the evidence of changed lives. And there in your notes, that's the only blank tonight, so you can relax. You can look up here. And the first little thought I want to share with you is that the testimony of Peter the apostle, proves Christ rose from the dead. Now, do you remember what Peter did on the eve of Christ's crucifixion? What did he? That's right, Brother Andy. He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He denied him how many times? Three times, not just once. Three times, and he swore, he blasphemed, and behaved like an unbeliever. Now, Peter wasn't at this stage courageous to go out and tell others about a risen Christ. No, in fact, he went back fishing. He went back to his old occupation. And yet, a few weeks later, this very man who had denied the Lord, before the ones who accused him of being a disciple, where do we find him? Preaching boldly in Jerusalem to all, including the priests, including the religious Jews, and not just preaching, but calling them to repentance because Christ is risen. And 3,000 were converted. 3,000. So how could someone who was so fearful be so bold? And some people may not know anything about the Bible, and you can say, well, look, if they were at the crucifixion, then they would have been taken captured. They would have been captured. The religious Jews would have sought to capture Jesus' followers. They wanted to get rid of this new belief as soon as they could. And the the disciples were not at the cross. They weren't there. We know only one was there, which was John, but they weren't assembled in a group because they were afraid. They were afraid of being caught. They were afraid of being killed. What gave Peter such a boldness? Well, the only thing that would have worked a mighty change in him had to be the fact that he was convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And here's a little thought. Psychology teaches us today that nothing makes a person more prone to fear and cowardice than a lie that preys on their conscience. When we are lying, or when someone is lying and they're trying to be confident in that lie, there's nothing that weighs greater upon their conscience than the fact that they're lying and that they'll be found out. And these, as we've seen in the past lessons, these are ones that not only boldly preached the gospel, but gave their very lives for what they believed. What works such a mighty change? That the spread of Christianity flourished throughout the known world. Well, because Christ rose from the dead. Now think about Jesus' family, James, Jesus' half-brother. You know, the Lord's brothers were opposed to him during his lifetime. His half-brothers were opposed to him. But after Jesus rose again from the dead, James saw him. James believed. He became a leader in the church in Jerusalem. And the verses are there in your notes. And his conversion was because Christ arose from the dead. See, everyone betrayed the Lord. Everyone forsook him. How about the testimony of Paul? And here's a good question. As a religious Jew, what did Paul have to profit from becoming a Christian?
Nothing.
Nothing. In fact, he had everything to lose. Absolutely everything. In fact, he said in Acts chapter, Galatians, in fact, in your notes, Galatians 1:4, that he profited in the Jews' religion above many. In fact, it would have been better for his own future and his own self and his own sake to just stay a Jew and keep persecuting the church and get rid of them once and for all. That would have been better for him. But yet, the Bible tells us that Paul went from being a bitter enemy of Christ to being one of the most passionate and zealous apostles and missionaries. Paul had nothing to gain. He had everything to lose. And yet he said before the crowd assembled, the hateful crowd assembled, before him in Jerusalem, and you can picture it in your mind, can't you? Paul on the steps preaching the gospel, and he did it humbly. If you read the words of Acts chapter 22, he preached boldly, but he was humbly, and he said, "Look, I saw the risen Christ." And he said, "Paul, why persecutest thou me?" He saw Christ risen from the dead. That's why he stood before an entire people, the Jews that he knew. And look, if he believed in anything to do with Christ's body being stolen, he would have known about the facts. He would have known about that story. He would have believed that Christ's body was hidden somewhere. He would have been on a hunt for the body. But obviously he gave no respect to that story at all. He believed Christ rose from the dead. So there's the evidence of changed lives that are undeniable. A lie does not change lives continuously, over and over again. And these ones went from a fear, went from a rejection of Christ to an amazing turnaround. And that's biblical history, the evidence of changed lives. Now, I don't have that much time to share with you all the quotes in your notes, but then there's the evidence of lawyers and judges that have examined the Bible's authenticity. They've looked at the Gospels, they've compared historical and biblical evidence, and just like in a court of law, they've weighed the evidence up, they've criticized it, and some of them were lost before they studied these truths and then became born-again Christians. And some of them attempted to write books against the resurrection and ended up publishing some of the most wonderful books for the resurrection. And there in your notes, I think if you turn on the other page, there's a little quote from Simon Greenleaf. And on the other side, on the second page, he was a professor of law at Harvard University and was one of the most celebrated legal minds of America. And he is the author of a 3-volume, a treatise on the law of evidence, which is still considered the greatest single authority on evidence in the entire literature of legal procedure. So this man was a lawyer. This man is a very highly respected lawyer. His writing is still used today. Now, Greenleaf examined the Bible. That's what's so exciting. After a thorough examination, Greenleaf concluded that Jesus did rise from the dead. And in 1846, he published an examination of the testimony of the 4 evangelists, that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by the rules of evidence administered in the courts of justice. And he says this, and the quote's in your notes, have a look there with me. All that Christianity asks of men is that they would be consistent with themselves, that they would treat its evidences as they treat the evidences of other things, and that they would try and judge its actors and witnesses as they deal with their fellow men when testifying to human affairs and actions in human tribunals. So he's saying, let's just judge the evidence as we would judge any evidence in a court of law. We've got a system. We've got a system of law in place that we judge someone guilty or not guilty. Let's use the same legal processes to examine the Bible's evidences. And then he says this, let the witnesses to the resurrection be compared with themselves and with each other and with surrounding facts and circumstances, and let their testimony be sifted as if it were given in a court of justice on the side of the adverse party, the witness being subjected to a rigorous cross-examination. The result, it is confidently believed, will be an undoubting conviction of their integrity, ability, and truth. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most well-documented historical fact in ancient history. The most well-documented historical fact. You can say that with confidence. And someone who doesn't know simply has never heard. There are historical proofs from the Roman Empire, from the religious writers of the day, from those who saw the Lord. There is overwhelming evidences that simply record the facts that Christ rose from the dead. Amazing. Amazing proofs. And those who have studied the proofs and with reputable backgrounds and degrees in law in modern history have concluded that Christ rose from the dead. And that may just encourage someone to think twice. So maybe I need to look into the facts. So there's a few other quotes from Lord Darling, who was a Chief Justice of England. Quote there, I'll let you read those in your own time. But someone might ask you, look, how can you possibly believe that someone rose from the dead? At the bottom page of your second page. You know, we live in a day of science. You know, that's pathetic. That's what Dawkins will say. You know, I never forget watching one debate with, he was debating a Christian, and he started off politely, he started off cordially, friendly, and by the end of it, he was hurling insults, no facts, just insults. Insults towards that particular Christian. And he was just like an animal saying, how can you believe in such foolishness that someone rose from the dead? You know, it's scientifically impossible that that can happen. Well, it is biologically impossible if we look at life from what we can observe. But you see, Christ's resurrection wasn't natural. It is supernatural. And we live in a supernatural world. It was a miracle of God. And God is not limited to nature because he created all things. That's the answer. God is God. He created all things. Now, the evolutionists will say, well, that's just convenient. No, that's just reality. Amen. Yes, it may not be scientifically possible, but it is supernaturally possible. Christ rose from the dead. Well, if the evidence is so strong, as we have looked at, why doesn't everyone believe? Maybe someone will ask you that question. Well, there in your notes, Many have never heard the evidence. You know, many have never heard. We go out door knocking, we'll meet people, and you'll see so often that have never heard the truth. They've heard about Jesus, a Jesus. You know, they usually associate him with Christmas and that's all, or Easter. And they've never heard that he rose again from the dead. I remember speaking to some Hindus one time, and they say, well, we've got a lot of gods, and you know, you have your God, we have ours. And I said, did you know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? That he was born of a virgin? And they stood back and said, no, we've never heard that before. And many people have never heard. That's why we need to be witnesses. Amen? To tell those who have never heard. Secondly, in your notes, some are willfully blind. They are willingly ignorant. They don't want to know. Many do not want to submit to God. One Christian author tells of a friend who agreed that the evidence for Christ's resurrection is overwhelming, but this was his reply. He said this. Listen carefully. He said this. He said, I don't want a new master. That's amazing. I don't want a new master. That's why most people reject the facts of the Word of God. I don't want a new master. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. But let me encourage you. Don't let that discourage you. Sooner or later, someone will want to listen. And then fourthly, if the evidence is so strong, why doesn't everyone believe? Well, many have believed. Amen? Many have believed. And you can say, hey, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm knocking on your door. Because when Christ saved me, I experienced his resurrection power. I experienced the forgiveness of sins. I know he is my Savior and he helps me to live for him each day. In fact, it's only by his grace I can stand here right now and tell you something that I know the world thinks is ridiculous, but I know him personally. I don't get someone's attention. You know, you honestly tell them, look, I know Jesus Christ personally. Amen. And Moses said, no one will listen to me. Well, preach the gospel. Amen. Preach the gospel. Without the gospel, and that's the conclusion to this part of the series, without the gospel, no one can be saved. They must believe in the gospel. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the heart of the gospel, and that's the message we have been entrusted with to preach. Amen? But we need to keep on the gospel. And everyone, because Christ is risen, everyone will be risen. Either to judgment and eternal hellfire, or they'll be risen to eternal life. There will be a resurrection for everyone because Christ rose again from the dead. And a person's destiny depends on their belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you to be bold. Let me encourage you to store away these truths in your folders and just store them away for a time of need. If someone wants to know more, ask if you can come back and visit them sometime. Invite them over. Amen. You don't need me. You know, I'm happy to help, but you don't need me. You've got the gospel, amen. You can invite someone over for an afternoon tea, share some more things with them. If you need some more resources, let me know. But church, we are God's witnesses, amen. Let's be ready to give an answer. The more you witness, the more you'll enjoy it. The more the Lord will use you. I trust that you're enjoying this series so far. We'll continue to enjoy it together. But the evidence of changed lives. Amen. And let people see a change in you.